favorites.
All right. So, hey, everybody, welcome back to Greg Block's Favorites podcast. And by that, I mean earlier today, we had Matt Kerr on, and this is the second recording session of the day. The new guest for this episode is my good friend Johan Zerbe, who has been my host for my travels here through Vancouver, a place I haven't been in 5 or more years, and it's just been really incredible being back, and I got nothing but just the best things to say, and I've had just nothing but the best experience here in this city, this thriving, beautiful city with its sophisticated intellectual populace. Just been a real pleasure. That's a shout out to Vancouver. I head back to Calgary tomorrow. Shout out Calgary, but hey, we're in Vancouver right now. So hey, Johan, just say hey to everybody and we'll get going.
Hey, everybody. Johan over here. It's been a pleasure to have you with us, Greg. You've been regaling us with tales and philosophies and ideas and banging some tennis balls pretty hard as well. That was pretty impressive yesterday. So yeah, it's been wonderful having you here, and I'm happy to be on the podcast.
So now, Johan is the gentleman who recommended to me the Three Body Problem trilogy, which is also known as Remembrance of Earth's Past, which really just blew my mind, knocked my socks off, and is still just like, I have nothing but the utmost respect for Sixin Liu. Liu Sixin, I'm not sure which is the exact way to say the author's name, but I consider him a living legend, an absolute master of the highest proportions, and I'm really thankful for that recommendation. So we're going to discuss that trilogy, some of the concepts involved in it, and yeah, what would be the first impressions that come to mind if you were going to put out a good word for that amazing piece of work?
Yeah, I mean, this book, I can't remember who recommended it to me, but I will say, you know, it's a epic trilogy. It's probably like 2,200 pages total, all three books. The first book, it takes a bit of work to get into, but it's very worthwhile. This trilogy, it spans like a time frame of something like 20,000 years, which is crazy. I don't think there's any author that's ever written a book that starts in the 1970s and takes you to 20,000 years in the future. And you know, there's like many, many amazing technologies that this author has just pulled out of his brain somehow, and you know, philosophical concepts that he's created that seem so relevant, and just so many great ideas throughout the story. And yeah, the story itself is great. It's pretty hard to put the book down once you've started. So
yeah, it's definitely a very conceptual based fiction, where these ideas are presented in a way that drives this plot stretched over an immense time frame. I don't mean to say stretched, because it never feels like that, but something like a scientific record, like a recording through scientific instrumentation of light from the universe, that means I don't want to ruin the story, but how the realistic way in which the humans are inferring the events presented in this way that's thrilling and gripping, and it's not just dry and oh, here they come. It's a real testament to the author. And one of the concepts that stands out to me is actually the title of the second book, The Dark Forest, which is a pretty terrifying concept, and you might say an argument that's hard to refute. So rather than go into myself, what would you say about The Dark Forest, and was that one of the concepts that stood out for you?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I may have tried to Wikipedia the concept of The Dark Forest, and it's possible that this author somehow came up with it or articulated it first in this way. But I mean, yeah, should we give the audience a few light spoilers about The Dark Forest?
We will. I don't think that The Dark Forest, knowing about The Dark Forest, would spoil the novel, and in fact would only advertise people that otherwise might not bother. I think we're just going to lay it down.
Yeah, I agree. I think it'll just excite people to read the novel. So yeah, maybe I'll give what I interpret The Dark Forest as, and yeah, you can. So I mean, I guess it's this the idea that the reason that we haven't contacted, or a possible reason that we haven't contacted or been contacted by any extraterrestrial sentient beings, is that they don't want us to know that they're there, and they don't want to be putting any kind of signal out. And so I guess the analogy is that if you're in a dark forest and you've got a flashlight, you're in a scary dark forest full of creatures that want to eat you, turning your flashlight on might help you be able to see what's out there and see a creature or two that you point your flashlight at. But the second you turn your flashlight on, anything around you in the forest knows that you're there, and you become vulnerable. And it's kind of a frightening concept, because I'm pretty sure since like the 1970s, Earth has been like blasting out our signal and saying, hey, we're here, here is our exact coordinates, and we're peaceful, come and get us.
Yeah, the dark forest, it's the change that the dark forest concept with regards to looking to the universe is when you see it as potentially just absolutely brimming with intelligences, but the intelligences that survived are, you might say, stalking silently through it. And the I think the a lot of the power in the dark forest comes from just, you know, when we, if you watch any documentary on the ocean or the life of the insect world in a bog, it's pretty intense. It's pretty murderous and merciless. There are, you know, if something's making itself known, it's either luring something in or it's either incredibly poisonous, right? And humans and Earth, if we're putting out a signal that's bright and something's coming to us, well, we're not very poisonous, and we're definitely not luring them in to destroy them. I think another element of the dark forest is that once you encounter something else that has alerted you to its presence, there's almost a inevitability that you must destroy it and take it out. I'm not sure exactly how to word that in a way that makes sense, but that's definitely one of the concepts that the author puts forward. And yeah, what would you say about that?
Yeah, I mean, I like the ocean analogy. It's definitely, like I said, scary to think of that maybe the reason we haven't successfully encountered any kind of sentient life out there is because we're the stupid ones putting our signal out, and everybody else is, yeah, stealthing around, surviving each other's attacks.
So the reason that you would strike is preemptively strike, because why would you allow that thing to be something that could evolve into a threat? And that, you might say, slip up in this dark way of viewing the universe might be your downfall. Oh, you underestimated that, you get meant by Earth, and you're like, oh, those humans. And then fast forward like 20,000 years, and it's the humans that freaking took you out, and they learned a few hard lessons along the way about how you have to do that. So that's a little word on the dark forest, and it is dark stuff. But any way you put it, I guess the three-body problem is on the darker side. It's not going to necessarily cheer the reader overly up, but if you're into that, highly recommend it. So another science fiction that's, I know, stands out to us both and to a great many people is Dune. Recently also made into a movie. What are you a Dune fan? Well, I know you're a Dune fan, but can you just explore your enjoyment of Dune, and what did you think of that film?
Yeah, I'm a huge Dune fan. The first time I read the Dune book, I couldn't put it down. I mean, I still gotta make my way through the whole canon of Dune, but I just love the kind of the simplicity of it. I love how it's, you know, the story is one that takes place on Earth all the time. It's the story of like a indigenous people getting just totally fucked by a mining company, which, you know, that happens all the time. And yeah, the movie, I was anticipating it for several years. I thought it was amazing. Denis Villeneuve, he's a genius. Really excited for the second part of the Dune movie.
Now, Dune is a series that I'm definitely going to be touching upon in favorites often. It's also very dark, and dark, as dark, if not darker, than Three Body Problem. So Dune, I see Dune as a six-part book series, and I won't say too much about it right now, but it kind of like The Dark Forest is a philosophy of the inevitability about how things would actually be in the universe. I would say Dune is an exploration of the truth about how evolutionary process actually unfolds, and the role that, I guess you could say, corruption, or just like, it's because something's the way it would ideally go, the thing that wins is often operating along different lines, and winners, history belongs to the winners. And it's kind of like Game of Thrones or A Song of Ice and Fire in that regard, where it's merciless, and it's not necessarily just happy-go-lucky tale where the good guys always win, but the seed of good seems to somehow live on and move forward. That would be my take on Dune. And the film for me was it was pretty good. I'm not as much of a fan of it as some others are. My qualm would be, I thought that the main city was, I always pictured it just thronging with people, like when you think of Stargate or something, and their portrayal was a little more covered. Maybe I just misunderstood their presentation and they are there, but they're just covered. Speaking of films, I know that we both resonate with Children of Men, a 2006 movie. I preferred the movie to the book. I saw the movie first, read the book. That rare case where it's like, wow, they really friggin' upped the ante on that. What would you have to say about Children of Men? What about it moves you or resonates with you? Why would you recommend it?
Yeah, I think we have a shared love for this movie. I still haven't read the book. I've leafed through it. I think I found a copy at some point. And I should read it, because I'm sure the movie, you know, can only cover so much of what was in the story. But yeah, great, great dark post-apocalyptic piece. Clive Owen, not my favorite actor, but he's amazing in it. Michael Caine is great in it. It's dark. It's like, you know, the kind of world that we will likely, potentially, I won't say likely, but potentially could live in 20 or 30 or 40 or 60 years. So yeah, kind of cool thought experiment of what happens when, you know, the whole economic system totally decays because humans aren't being born.
And Children of Men, so with Dune I mentioned, and these dark stories, Children of Men also dark, but mentioned how somehow the seed of good lives on. I feel like uncannily that also is true in Children of Men. Maybe that's what the story is about, where the one child is born, and it's so striking to me the constant sacrifice made by these people for the what that represents, the spark of life and hope. And they might have only encountered it for minutes or hours, and they lay down their lives so that it can continue. And it's just so moving. And I really think that though it's all dark stuff, that thread of hope throughout it is powerful. And yeah, there's a word of warning in these things. There's truth in there. There's cautionary tales, but that message of that presence and message of hope is also, it weighs just as heavily. And the medley of it all makes it, I think, it powerful, resonating, and insightful. So highly recommended, these movies, these books. Any last words you want to share for this Favories podcast episode? Which episode is this? We've had Kale Shapiro, we've had Matt, two Matts, now we've got Johan. What would be your final words, your send-off?
I mean, I guess maybe not my final words, but do you have a favorite scene in Children of Men? Because there's some great, you know, some short scenes, some very long scenes. Favorite moment or scene from that film?
Well, before I answer, just a shout out to Children of Men, the cinematic experience of those prolonged scenes. And there had been those in film and stuff, but the ones in Children of Men were, I think, pretty influential, really stand out, just like, oh my God, it's just going still and it's amazing. I would say that the final climactic scene where he's wheeling her around, and it starts with like the sound of like a train going by or something, and it just grips you, and away it goes. I think that's just cinematic art, in whether it's literature or movies, to aspire to, just to like, that's about as sublime as it comes. And also, yeah, just what would be my favorite sacrifices of the people? Well, that's a terrible thing to say. Anyways, I'm just gonna drop that one.
Yeah. So yeah. Final words. It's been a pleasure being on the podcast. I'm excited to cook you some dinner right now.
All right, everybody. Keep reading. Keep watching those films and having conversations. And yeah, make sure you keep your belly full too, and live happily. Live with love. Peace out.
Peace.